In the beginning, there was a dream. A dream that became a film fest. Known throughout the universe as the greatest collection of motion pictures ever assembled. Now, Apocalypse Video brings you the fifth installment of Hot Dave's Summer Film Fest. The future is super female. A gathering of the best and worst in female-led comic book movies. From Barbed Wire to Barbarella, Catwoman to Tank Girl. They're all here, and they're all fabulous. Step aside, fellas, because these girls get it done. On the final episode of The Future is Super Female, Dakota Johnson and Sony Pictures make a film so bad it threatens to end cinema as we know it. It's Madam Web.
Hey, come on. Get your stuff. Let's go. Let's try that again. A week ago, I spent my life racing against time.
I'm gonna help you out today, okay?
Trying to save people who were running out of it.
Jesse!
Until one moment changed everything.
Come on!
Welcome back to the land that we're living.
I don't understand what's happening. I've been having visions. I knew he was gonna die. I think I'm seeing the future.
New York City's a whole new level of crazy these days.
What do you want from me? What do you want?
New York City's a whole new level of crazy these days.
This is an emergency. Get off the train.
That man's trying to kill you.
What?
Who are you? What is going on?
I can see the future.
Oh, what the hell?
She didn't see that coming?
That's not how it works. I've seen that man before.
So who is he?
Ezekiel Sims. He was in the Amazon with my mom when she was researching spiders right before she died.
Wait, I recognize you. You live in my building.
You're the paramedic.
Yeah, you almost ran me over.
You don't think this is weird, how we're all connected?
It's honestly like the least weird thing that's happened all day.
What do you want from me?
I have no idea what those girls have come.
Why don't you want from me?
I think he can see into the future.
Why are you wanting me?
He's trying to change what happens. Julia, get down!
Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me?
Your future was almost so different.
Why do we go?
If you want to live, you have to trust me.
Where are you?
You're showing off.
Maybe a little.
Can you imagine being a Columbia executive? You're at the premiere of Madam Web. It's 2024. And you see the magnificent Columbia logo. 100 years of Columbia Studios. And it all led to this.
I think that they probably had never seen a movie before.
Yeah.
And so they probably were just like, wow, moving pictures.
I'm an executive at Sony Columbia, and I have never seen a moving picture before. I am paid so much money, you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
We're, of course, talking about the seminal film, Madam Web, from 2024. This is the final episode of Hot Dave Summer Film Fest.
This is the final episode of Apocalypse.
The final episode.
We will be killing ourselves after this.
This is the final movie.
There are movies after this.
We might have a couple hot takes on this movie during this episode.
You keep saying that.
I think you're hiding a hot take or something.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm your host, Dave. Thanks for joining us for the final episode of the Summer Film Fest. The future is super female. I'm joined again by my fellow hosts, Ryan.
Who flicks off an ambulance? Jesus.
I'm also joined by Jackie.
Hope the spiders were worth it, Mom.
And finally, before I throw to you, Mike, can I just ask again, seriously, don't do dumb things.
Not really a question, but...
It's not really a question, Dave.
That's true. Don't do dumb things. I guess that's on me and Michael.
And the script.
The spider venom did have healing properties.
Said off camera.
We ADR'd that, don't worry.
Okay, you just landed on one of my main talking points for this movie. What the hell happened with the ADR this thing?
What happened with this movie?
People can be tracked wherever they go. It's going to change everything.
As long as it has the ability to find those women now, before they get their powers.
This is what they look like in your visions, as well as you can recollect.
Their faces have been taunting me for years.
We don't know exactly when your vision takes place, so... giving us a 10-year range just to be safe. Here's what they should look like now. They're younger than I thought. I didn't know we'd be targeting teenagers.
They're teenagers now, but in the future, they have powers, and they will try to destroy me. I came from nothing, less than nothing. I will not give up everything I've built and have my life cut short.
Maybe we all did this. I was on the Wikipedia, like, searching for a reason as to why the ADR was so much and so bad. And there's no answers. Why was it so bad?
But it's clearly there. It is clearly
I think you guys, because Dave, you said this is the 100-year anniversary of Columbia Pictures, right?
Yeah.
And I think maybe they're celebrating back to a different time of Hollywood where someone with maybe a non-American, maybe they would say at the time, too ethnic of a voice would be replaced with a more... what would they call it back then?
A whitey voice.
Yeah. I feel like that's what happened here. I don't know. Like, I can't explain it other than I have to assume.
It was racism.
I just think they rewrote it and didn't reshoot, and that's it.
And they just did not fucking care.
Did that guy... So we're all talking about, like, the bad guy, right?
Well,
did
I think everyone.
He's the most egregious.
So noticeable. The flaps of the mouth not lining up with the dialogue.
I have no idea.
What I was wondering is, like, did he do his own ADR even? Is that him?
Maybe. Just all his dialogue is basically off camera. If it is on camera, it's, like barely there.
It's like the golden age of Hong Kong, like kung fu movies coming to the U.S. of, like, I don't know, just fucking put any sort of
maybe they were making an homage to Italian film back when they and they always did everything ADR.
Well, the funny thing, it sounds like a different person dubbing our antagonist, but then for everyone else, it's like they brought him in, but they give the most lifeless line deliveries, like, that man was trying to kill you.
maybe this is partly because everyone's lifeless because they're coming back in to do the ADR. They know at this point what a mess this is.
I mean, everyone's just standing there in the movie anyway. I think I think this movie. I was reading that wiki. It said that they shot this for, like, was it 9 months or something crazy? Like, which is insanely long. Like.
Yeah,
which it sounds like they just were making the plane as they were flying.
I just kept saying over and over again watching the film, and it's something I just want to get out of the way real quick. I was thinking about this. I think Cutthroat Island is still a worse viewing experience for me, but this might be the worst movie we've seen. Like, And I think
Cutthroat Island had some stunts.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, but it was, this is so bad that it was, I wouldn't say it's like so bad it's good, but it was a more fun viewing experience where like the problem with Cutthroat Island, it was like kind of like just nothing. But
you know what, Mike? I'm right there with you. While this is an atrocious movie, I think I put it in the same category as something like The Room or like Plan 9 from Outer Space. It's like so bad.
I can see
how
that.
How does this movie exist?
It is. Well, the thing that's like shocking about it, kind of what I was getting at, is it is, it's a big budget, you know, Marvel, Sony movie, you know, whatever. It's a big budget superhero
in
movie.
Low budget with Marvel.
Low budget for Marvel, apparently.
But it's still, the budget for this movie was about, what, I'm looking at it, just Wikipedia, it's anywhere from 80 to 100 million.
Probably more.
So it's not cheap. And I've never seen a movie with this sense of scale. Like, I've seen Marvel movies that I'm like, that's dumb, right? But I've never seen something that was like, like amateurish is the, I guess the way I'd put it. Like it literally, there are segments of this movie that feel like you're watching like an indie film, like you're at a film festival watching like a, you know, a well done student film almost. Like,
but without it being like well done or having like a heart or like any sort of emotion.
Yeah. But. I'm just talking about like the way it looks. Like it looks.
It looks
taken aback at how amateurish it looks at a lot of parts.
This is the motion picture debut of its director, S.J. Clarkson. Now, granted, she did do looks like she's done a ton of TV on some pretty big shows. But that said, this is Sony we're talking about. I doubt she had any real power on this movie. I doubt she was allowed any real power.
It's all very movie by executive committee in all of the just most heartless, obvious ways. And I feel bad for the director.
This director was the one who was supposed to do the pilot for the one of the Game of Thrones prequels that never. You know,
and then they said, actually, we're going to behead you.
And interesting, I didn't realize this, that apparently they shot it. Like
Naomi Watts one that never came out?
This is the one.
They said, what if we toss all of this into a volcano?
According to the Chattopedia, they shot it and just never put it out. So she's a continual victim of studio idiocy, which is definitely likable or definitely possible, or she's. Maybe they saw it and were like, this sucks, and we're not putting it out.
I have to maybe think that perhaps a bit of industry misogyny, maybe led also to letting her get caught holding the bag.
She directed an episode of Succession, so I'm going to assume she's competent.
Here's the thing. They make all these things. They announce. They're pulling back on this because they realized Marvel screwed up the world by going like, we're going to have 18 movies planned for this next 3 years. Here's the release dates they come out. And everybody decided they need to do that. So whatever, HBO is just like, we're doing 3 Game of Thrones things. And this is all before scripts are done, who directors are hired, before anybody.
Yeah.
And this is the case with this movie, is that they were just like, this is a character we want to do. We have no idea what it's going to be, who's going to be in it, who's directing it, who's writing it, who's doing anything. But we've announced it
for 2024.
Yeah, and we got to put it out. And so they find a director that's like someone that works in the industry, probably has a good reputation with the people they work with, and then they just like throw them under the bus to like take the fall on this movie, basically.
Yeah.
And so that's basically how these come about. And this movie just feels like, compared to the thing outside, it's very much a throwback in a weird way to the era of the Catwoman and the Elektra stuff.
Yes.
But at the same time, you're like, we figured this out by now. Like, and so
was 20 years ago.
Like, and so I'm like, those movies feel you're not like mad about those movies. And this one, you're just kind of like, how did they get to this? And then the thing is, in those movies, at least characters like were making, have motivations that make sense. At least like, CGI wise, it's like of the time, like everything is like those make movie. This movie is just like, why is this person? Why are they doing this? Why isn't someone questioning this? And it's like nitpicky shit that like just makes it fall apart altogether.
Yeah, I mean, like you find yourself being like, am I being nitpicky about this? But it's like it's death by a thousand cuts. It's like everything is adding up to this like you know, I'm not the guy, and none of us are, the kind of film viewers who are like, well, that actually wouldn't make sense. Or, you know what I mean? But, like, there is a certain point where, like, why, like, it's sort of like...
Why is it like this?
Yeah, and what it is it's a really contrived script where it's the script. I mean, like, if there is an original sin with this movie, it's this mess of a script. And like, what the story is
there's
like...
There's, what, like, 6 to 8 credited screenwriters for this fucking mess, and it's like, you just know it was, you know, Frankenstein together over the course of, like, how many years, and... Again, there's the corporate, you know, committee stink on it. It's never going to be
Do you want to know what there's a primary writing team who worked on this movie, Matt Sazosma and Burke Sharpless. And I just want to take a minute to hate on them real quick.
Those don't even sound like real names.
I know, you made those up.
here's some of their...
My name's Burke Schmarf, and this is Crom Johnston.
Here's what this crack team of really talented, and I'm sure not just like... hired for being buddies with people or whatever. They've done Morbius.
Oh, stop it right there. Stop it right there.
They did Gods of Egypt.
Oh, my Lord.
They did Dracula Untold.
That doesn't exist.
They also worked on... They did the Lost in Space reboot for Netflix.
Again, well, doesn't exist.
Oh, and they were involved in that 2017 Power Rangers movie.
Oh God!
And well, the last Witch
only
Hunter.
The best is what you're saying.
Well, I really think that like they probably are guys that have probably rewritten 100 movies that we don't earn credit for.
Yeah,
they're probably guys that have done a thing. Like that's how this come about. Is like they're probably guys that have like are like scripts. Guys that they just like hire that probably are probably like millionaires or well off people that probably just like rewrite like a movie every week basically.
We used to have Carrie Fisher as a script doctor, you know? We used to have people who wrote scripts.
The thing is like but that's bizarre with these rewriters is that they don't put out anything good, yet they continue to get work. And I think the idea is it's like the studio's like, I don't care what it is, just rewrite it.
I'm looking at these guys, they're just in a frat with somebody.
Well, like, no,
laundering at that point, right?
I think it's just like they're part of an agency. And I think what it is like they're like, we got this Dracula thing. You want to take a crack at that? Like, I think that's how these work. You know, it's like kind of the...
But why do they keep give it to people who make this?
Yeah.
Well, I think...
How is this a success in any metric? Like, it's not making them money.
Because they were able to take a couple million off the top, you know?
They delivered
it. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they know it's not good, but they're like, hey, like, they at least can rewrite it and give a script in the time frame that we ask for,
Like, 2 weeks or whatever it is,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
Is it like...
This sounds like Chris Terrio to me.
Again, this movie's bringing out the weirdness in me. It's like things I normally don't want to be doing, but like... Is it just like, hey, they produced a movie, it's good enough for us to release and we can write it off as like a tax loss when it
tanks? Absolutely it is. That is that's the heart of all of this shit, is it's way easier to take a couple million off the top of your big stinky job.
Is the goal here even to make a good movie or is it to release something?
No, it's to release and it's to make line go up even a teeny little bit and then we can all go back to our 3-month vacation, you know? Like, these people don't care about
to Zaslav's cocaine room.
This is never about art. It's never about happiness or anything. It's about some cold, hard cash. And this movie could barely do that.
The original Fantastic Four movie was literally made on a shoestring budget and not released. It was literally made just so they could hold on to the rights to that film.
Yeah.
It was never intended to be released.
That's the other thing with the Sony of it all. They're always doing their little, like, Meyer's a Spider-Man, I guess. Here's our contractually obligated to hold on to the rights, sort of Spider-Man adjacent pile of bullshit. And
do we have some costumes in the back room or like some CG renderings in the back room
sunglasses to give to Dakota Johnson?
Oh my God. Those sunglasses, can I just say, at the end of the movie, spoiler alert,
she's blind,
becomes
she
Madame Web and she's blind and she has
and paralyzed, apparently.
Paralyzed.
Blah, 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 blah. I was thinking when she's wearing those glasses, they reminded me so much of the glasses that Homer Simpson wears when he's on the jury with the eyeballs that make it look like he's awake. Dakota Johnson was sleeping through those scenes when she's wearing those glasses. I guarantee it.
She was like her last day of filming. Scenes. She's like, I'm ready to wrap and go home, dude.
Scenes.
Well, I really think anything basically with like any costuming that's like comic book stuff is stuff they added later.
Okay.
Like, because like it doesn't feel like connect, like I don't know, it that whole last scene, like, or anything with like the woman in the spider suits just doesn't feel like it was part of the movie.
We got to put some sort of comic booky thing in this comic book movie.
Well, and if we can talk about costuming briefly, I was talking about this when we were watching it. Why, what fucking decrepit horn dog put Sidney Sweeney in this, like,
oh my
porno
god,
school
oh my
girl,
it's like, it's like cringy. Like I feel like everything about this movie feels like it was made by like a middle-aged like studio exec, including the costumes they put on everybody.
It's like the only it all makes me so enraged, because like you didn't write characters, you didn't write a script. It's vaguely set in 2003, we are told.
We're told the 90s, apparently.
And we're told this repeatedly that it is 2003.
And yeah, so let's put Sidney Sweeney in a shitty wig and porno glasses and a pleated skirt and
Sidney Sweeney
socks.
Her outfit is like, it's like, and a lot of this is like the lighting and just how bad it looks, but like, yeah, it comes off as like porn. Like it's like, this is what I mean, where like shockingly amateurish, like just the way it looks. But yeah, her outfit is like unhinged. It's like thigh high boots, mini skirt, and like this wig.
Because the other two teen future spider girls are just wearing like jeans and a shirt or something. And then, you know, Madame Web herself is wearing, I will say, cool red jacket, I liked that, but like jeans, and then it's like, I'm the nerdy shy girl, and I just and I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ!
And we should literally say you just did an impression of her where she puts like her finger to her mouth. She does that.
She's like, I don't know. My dad doesn't care about me, so I'm really vulnerable.
I ran away.
And she's
home.
Supposed to be playing like a 16-year-old
or
something.
They're all supposed to be teens. Yeah,
it's all like her.
It's gross.
It's not, yeah, it's not fun. Like,
it's not fun.
One of my favorite scenes in this movie, because it's so bonkers, is they have a big fight. We'll get into the plot in a little bit.
There's no plot, it's fine.
Suffice it to say, they get into a fight with a spider guy, Ezekiel, the badly dubbed
evil Spider-Man.
Everyone knows Ezekiel.
They get into a fight. Dakota Johnson steals a guy's cab and she drives them off into the boonies.
Into the woods.
Her plan is, I'm gonna leave you in the forest here. I gotta go back and figure out some shit. I'll be gone a few hours. Try not to kill her. Try not to die.
They're like, I can't believe it. Food?
Our hero is like, I'll drive these people I'm protecting out to the boonies, an unspecified location. It's the forest. I'll drop you off here. Just stay in this like campsite.
And then they find a diner, and then they are like, let's go talk to boys.
Oh, that diner scene is insane. What is going on in that diner?
It's so bad. It's so bad.
They end up
bad.
Like meeting with like a group of guys, or they're like,
what if we dance on the table to Britney Spears' Toxic?
Yeah, because it's 2003, Britney Spears' Toxic is playing, which is going to be a huge hit new song, Dave.
They're told on the radio. Ever heard of this girl, Britney Spears?
Yeah, this song's going to be huge. Like we were like, it's 2003 and Britney Spears. Like, it's huge the second it comes out. It's not going to be huge.
She's been a famous pop star for fucking 5 years. Oh, yeah.
They're dancing. You know, Dave, you've been to diners, right? You see people dancing on tables while
the waitress doesn't give a shit, of course.
Yeah, that's not a bar. It's a diner.
In the middle of nowhere, or in the middle of undisclosed location.
Right. A rural diner, like a truck stop diner, you know?
Right outside Manhattan.
Yeah, just it's a
right outside Manhattan, yeah.
It's fine.
It feels like they drove, so that like little drive where they drive outside, you know, this movie takes place in Manhattan or New York. So I think some is in Queens, but they They drive, like, the idea is, like, they drive, like, an hour outside of town and they're in the woods. It totally looks like they went to the Washington State woods, like, yeah. from Twilight. Like, they drove an hour outside of Manhattan to the other coast of the United States.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
They're now in the Washington / Twilight universe woods.
It's, should we talk, quote-unquote, plot?
Yeah, well, we should. Otherwise, people are going to be confused.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, we begin in 1973 in Peru, and Dakota Johnson's mother is looking for a rare spider. That's how it always is in these movies. Like, we're looking for the rare thing that's the key to the unlocking mm-hmm. the secrets of this, that, and the other thing.
The dagger.
You know, cures to this, that, and the other thing, blah, 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 whatever.
It's yeah. a spider yeah, MacGuffin.
The Sith dagger.
Yes. I'm looking exactly. for the Sith dagger that will save my baby.
And they find it, and her friend, well, it's not her friend. The guy with her, Ezekiel, ends up betraying her because, like, hey, this spider is worth millions, even though I end up keeping it later.
Even though
they talk about, like, the native people use the spiders to...
Las arañas.
Yeah, I think, like, she wanted to use the spider for, like, medical things, and he wanted to use the spider for powers.
So you find that, reveal that later.
Yeah, spoiler, she wants to save her unborn baby from disease, and yeah. he wants to be powerful, and then these, the indigenous Peruvian spider guys, who, spider I guess, people. which implies then that Peter Parker is doing some cultural appropriation mm-hmm. stuff later on.
Especially with his costume.
Not cool,
yeah.
Peter. Yeah. Not cool.
Yeah, before we just you guys we've gone 100 miles an hour before we even got into this a little bit.
It's
but
true.
To go the
let's pump the brakes on this stolen cab.
yeah, there's some crazy shit. But like I think that's maybe that is like the idea of this. I mean, I don't know Spider-Man lore really because you know probably after you know it's been around a while.
It's been around for so long. They're just making shit up.
They're making shit up. They're like, okay, well, actually, the spider is from like this area where like indigenous people used it for its powers and stuff. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Okay, I'm not too crazy off.
Sure, it's spider magic, whatever.
And then I'm like, but then you start getting the thing of like, oh, their costumes look like Spider-Man. The Ezekiels look like Spider-Man, and then it starts getting like. Did anybody stop to think like this is not making the Spider-Man interesting anymore either? Yeah. Like nobody thinks it's
who cares? That's some baby who hasn't even been born
like,
yet.
The idea, like okay, like what if they could be look like anything? Like the people could look like the spider people, and Ezekiel could look like any kind of character possible, but it has to be like look like our
we
our
need
boy,
it to look like identifiable Spider-Man. IP Spider-Man.
But I don't know. Anyway, like yeah, it's a pretty awkward. We're talking about how in that whole opening scene, there's a lot of you can tell they're digital. Camera shakes and zooms basically happening.
The fucking shaky cam. Yeah. And it happens there in that first scene, I think in kind of the finale fight scene too. And it reads as like.
You can tell because it's almost like it's like a floating cam. It's not shaky. It's just like they're using that digitally to make it.
This is where I go back to like the amateurish about the, like, these are the kind of shots and moments. Like these are the things that like even in a Ant-Man, Quantumania level Marvel movie, which admittedly I haven't seen, but I have to imagine it doesn't sink to that
really
level
great.
Of like amateurishness. You know, even like at its worst, the Marvel movies seem to have like this base level of quality that this is like not hitting.
And I that's mean, even like a low base level, you know?
I mean, it sounds like they, oh no, I guess it's a year later. I thought I read that they were like, it came out in February and they were still shooting stuff in January, but that was the year before. I was just like, Jesus Christ.
No, but it came out in February. They were shooting stuff in March.
Yeah.
But the like editing like that of this like floating shake you, it feels like TikTok editing mm-hmm. to post like a movie without getting copyright claims.
You know what it reminded me of is on Chad Talk on Chad Talker or
TikTok.
Chad DeGram Reels. Those things where it's like Star Wars. I've seen them lately where it's like Vader, like this is just like cool quotes from Anakin Skywalker or whatever. And it's like an edgy
like fan cam.
Yeah, edgy like images of like him or whatever. It feels like that.
And
like,
it's set to like Bad Bitch by Doja Cat.
Yeah, that's a fan cam.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen fan cams with better editing than this movie.
Yeah. But then, it's basically, and then she gets help after she gets shot by Ezekiel, which...
He runs off, but then the spider people show up, and they take her to this, like, crazy, like, cave with, like, the glowy water. They put her in the water, and then the spider comes and bites her in the chest and presumably cures her unborn child of whatever disease she had. But she dies as a result of this. And the guy tells her, like, in 30 years' time or whatever, your daughter will come back for answers, and I'll be here to explain. I want to know,
so they just shipped this baby to the U.S., and we're like, oh, she doesn't have a mom. Where's her dad? I want to know. That doesn't matter. Doesn't fucking matter.
Then we cut to 30 years later. It's 2003. Britney Spears is lighting up the charts with Toxic.
Ever heard of her?
And this is classic action movie. We jump right into the action, and Dakota Johnson is an EMT driver. And she's like, whoa! And she's a crazy driver.
She's driving all through the city. Everyone's cutting off this ambulance. Adam Scott as Uncle Ben in the back. They're both so calm. It's like a patient is coding.
What did you think about that?
Anyway,
that.
I met this girl.
My heart sank when I saw Adam Scott in the back of the. I'm like, Adam Scott is in this?
Adam Scott gotta get paid, son.
I'm like, did he make some bad bets or something? Like, why
Does
is he?
Have he kids
in?
That Adam are going Scott, to college soon.
Adam Scott will be in things.
I don't think that these people, like, they don't watch the Marvel movies, but they're like, oh, cool, I'm going to be in a superhero movie, I'm going to make some money. It's, what's the term, the Anthony Hopkins thing, no work required or whatever, or no acting required?
No acting.
I mean...
It does, well, Adam Scott
at Gwyneth
does
Paltrow. Like Gwyneth Paltrow, they asked her, like, "Hey, so what was your experience like on such and such movie?" She's like, "I was in that."
Yeah.
Adam Scott, like his whole performance has the vibe of like the Marlon Brando thing, where the director's just like feed it, like, "Okay, say this line."
Yeah.
And he says it back.
Don't worry, we'll wrap you after 3 days. It's okay. It's
like,
he's
seeing, if there was a script, he was seeing it for the first time on set.
I think they all were. I think they all were.
Yeah.
There's also the thing. Because I feel like Dakota Johnson and Sydney Sweeney at the time, like, you know, in interviews, the way they're talking, like, oh, when I got cast for blah, blah, blah. And it's like, your agents, your managers, whoever, definitely made it seem like you were cast in a capital M Marvel piece. Mm. And then it was like, I'm with Sony, blah, 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 blah. And so... Obviously, this was just a payday for everyone involved. There was no art. There was no acting required. But also the, like, I think it was Dakota Johnson who, like, dropped her her agents after this and signed on with someone else. And it's like, well, probably a good choice.
Well, I think, okay, and there's a moment, and I think even I can say the room was interested. And it's during, I think, the second chase action scene with the ambulance. Where she like goes underwater and like dies or whatever like that, and you guys are like, oh, this is interesting, like the visuals and stuff.
Oh yeah, it's the first, like, the
visions
web
that she has and everything, and like, and I think that actually the CGI in that looks pretty interesting, I think, and it's like a cool kind of very Doctor Strange esque kind of vibe. And that's the only time this looks like that in the movie. So the guy, the effects artist, really had a field day with that part, I think.
And reading like about the making, that was, I think, the original, like the kernel of what this movie was going to be was
it was sold it on
them. Well, and I think it was just Doctor Strange hit well in 2016, and they're like, all right, let's get rolling on one of ours.
Let's do a girl Doctor Strange.
Well, I think that, and I can imagine them selling, you know, the actors in this movie. This is what this movie is going to be. It's going to be more like
a thriller,
like The Ring or something, like, but like with the or like a horror movie with these spiders and like the murder mystery and like.
Well, like,
I think that's how they're probably selling it.
Call me crazy. Like, I guess, like, if I know nothing about Marvel and I get an idea of what the story is, it's like, it's not like a typical movie, like a typical Marvel movie. It's like we're being chased by like a crazy killer type, like more of a thriller angle with weird Doctor Strange stuff. And I know nothing about Marvel. I'm like, on paper, I'm like, maybe that sounds interesting. And it's a, and like you said, Jackie, like if you're unaware, you're like, oh, it's a Marvel movie? Well, oh, it's so going to be a huge hit, right?
A bunch of money sounds good, whatever.
And then I think if you're looking at like the art too, you're like, oh, wow, what a cool like thing of like this woman that's like sitting down and there's all these webs and all these women spiders and the artwork on all that looks so cool.
Oh, and she could see the future and she can undo things. Okay, that's something.
Yeah. That's all before scripts, you know, kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta lock you down before you get that script.
As someone,
are you guys getting Final Destination vibes from this?
I mean, a little bit.
A little bit, but then I just watched Final Destination Bloodlines and it's a masterpiece compared to this.
I mean, those movies have fun. I feel like
it's one of the funniest movies of the year. It's amazing. I think, Dave, you're gonna roll on the floor laughing with that movie.
I'll have to watch it after we stop.
Yeah.
I'll say too, like Final Destination, the deaths. That's the whole fun of it. If you're like, oh, he's gonna get like crushed by, or the logs, or blah blah blah, and the like visions of death in this that Madame Web sees are like, oh no, the bad guy came in and he strangled her. Oh, and he threw her. Oh, no. Yeah. I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, what I realized, let's talk about Final Destination. What I realized watching this new one, I'm like, oh, these movies were the modern, and they were even New Line, they were the continuation of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Yeah.
You know, they were that era, like that kind of thing. Like how, and I think that's what this new one really.
Friday the 13th-ish, too, maybe?
No. Like, no? Nightmare on Elm Street, for sure. You know? Because that was kind of like the vibe of like you can't go to sleep and this is just like, oh, that's gonna kill you, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, this the thing about those that's fun about Final Destination is like the, you know, the what's that term?
Killing.
The Rube Goldberg-ness of it all, where like you know, like, oh, how's it gonna work?
Oh,
you're like trying to figure out what's the thing.
Right,
that's
and there's
cause
no like it's like I think we talked about this when we watched one of the Final Destination movies, but it's like it's a slasher film where there's no slasher, right? Like that's kind of cool.
Yeah, you're like, oh, he set the water glass over there, and then the garbage disposals. Oh no, it's gonna.
And that's what's fun about those movies. Whereas in this,
and there's usually somebody that can see it. Like there's someone that has this clairvoyance.
Yeah,
yeah. Whereas and this, it's this, like, oh no, like, he's gonna come in and punch the girls.
Yeah, it's just her being like, hey, duck. Oh wow!
Whoa!
Like it's not like she does anything really cool or clever. Towards the end, in the fireworks factory, she's like, "Hey, duck! I saw the future."
Just what you said. That they got to get to the fireworks factory feels like a Simpsons joke, you know, or whatever. Just like a I've been sitting on this. There's so much stuff, and I don't care about the plot. It makes sense, but the things I don't understand is just like, what the hell? No one stopped to think like. She's still in the cab? She's still in the taxi cab and no one said anything? Like, and like, oh, she's stealing this? We're doing this beat again if she runs everybody over through the building?
They do it twice.
That is her main superpower in this film, is driving a car into a building or a person.
All three of these, they spider women, basically, we even got to this point, but she basically stumbles upon the whole like, crux of
we got like one scene into describing this movie.
I guess so, yeah. It's just that there's supposed to be these three future spider women, and they don't know each other, apparently. But the thing is the whole movie, they act as if they're like the best friends. Or
friends. All these four people meet each other in this movie in kind of like one action sequence where they're kind of like, they're all in a train together and sitting apart. They don't know each other. They have no background. They come together during this action sequence, you know, and it's kind of like, ooh. And from that moment on, they are best lifelong friends. They have always been friends. We're getting like slumber party, like they're throwing popcorn at each other, like, ooh, girls
night. And that shit drives me more nuts than anything. That type of stuff of like, there's just no reality that this movie exists in.
No.
And even if it is creating its own, it doesn't make sense. And so that's what's just nuts about it. Like, compared to like plot shit that's really confusing and annoying, like the Catwoman movies, at least it had a world it created. And this is just some bonkers
Ryan
Fortnite world they live in.
Ryan,
you know?
I'm playing the role of a listener here.
Sorry.
But Ryan, you're always going on about how like movies can just have vibes and how maybe the plot doesn't matter and you like garbage like Tenet and
Tenet garbage.
So what's wrong with the
Tenet,
vibes?
Tenet,
why can't this
Tenet
have vibes?
Plays out what it is and why it works and it has like its own world it lives in, but it stays with that. This is just and supposed to be in like a real reality of humans that you know that exists, but it's just like. I'm just, it's like I have a taxi cab now and it's part of my thing and I'm going to drive around.
And I drove it into the woods.
Like you guys were just talking about with the woman in, at the diner dancing on the things like they're in Coyote Ugly. Like that doesn't happen. It's just like, Tenet doesn't have things like that. Tenet's is like an amazing vibe movie and it's all about emotion and stuff. This movie doesn't have an emotion to
this. This movie has not one emotion.
Another thing that was perplexing to me. So they all meet in the subway and there's an action sequence where Spider-Man, comes the bad Spider-Man.
Also, he is not wearing shoes. That important point.
He's not in his costume. He's not wearing shoes for some reason.
On the New York subway.
Oh, first of all, I think it's not the subway. It's commuter train. But still.
Yeah, he comes and tries to kill him. That's where they all meet, the three girls and Madame Web. She can see the future, so she gets him out of there. She gets into a cab, and they drive away. This is all the same day. They drive out in the forest, and suddenly there's this huge scene where they're all like, we're starving. Yeah, like, it's been, like, 2 hours.
Our babysitter didn't even leave us chicken nuggets.
I know, it's like little kids. Like, oh, I'm so hungry.
I'm so hungry, and also
this is again
starving.
Where
like, there's nothing to eat out here. And Madame Web's like, I'm going to be back in, like, 3 hours. And it's been, we met, like, a few hours ago. What's the problem?
Just dropping him off is so stupid and dumb. What's the vibes of this, Michael? Like, what are you talking about? Does this have vibes to it? This forest set that's in the that's shot in like a corner of a room, or whatever.
This movie has no vibes, no heart, no emotions.
I will say, I'm not giving points to the movie. I'm giving points to something that could have been interesting.
No,
I like the idea of I like the idea of a Spider-Man type assassin. Like, that could have been scary. A guy climbing on the walls and, like,
poisons
choking people and throwing them across.
Would you have dressed him just like Sam Raimi's Spider-Man?
But evil.
But black?
No, but, like, an evil Spider-Man could have been fun. You know, a Spider-Man assassin. Like,
yeah. There's an idea
if
there.
If only they had written a character.
Yeah, the thing is that this movie like only exists within these like four characters or five characters in this movie, really, because there's like no outside world going on at all. Like, there's no one going like they are trying to chase them down.
I feel like multiple times the girls or Madame Web, they're just like, no one else saw the train guy, the Spider-Man. It's like, why? What is it? Is that part of his powers? Is he?
He killed multiple people.
He's throwing people around. He's on top of trains, like.
Like they could do a thing, like a way, like make it. Like you're right. It's all they could have had a vibe thing where it's like there is this spider guy, this evil thing, but he's like in the shadows, and he's like, and maybe there's like a beginning mystery of who this guy is, but there's
none of that.
It's like him just like
you
walking
Nolan Batman thing where in like Batman Begins where it's like you're barely seeing the Spider-Man, you know, and it's like this like unseen like what
daylight,
is this thing
full coverage.
You could have done like a Terminator type thing where the movie begins and it's just like, hey, there's like a guy killing these girls like around the city, and like there have been like scattered reports.
Yeah,
because
he's just like going after anyone he thinks could be
be these women that he thinks killed him in the future, or whatever. Which is like
he's not sure who the
Instead, it's just like I'm going to say exactly what I'm saying, but you're not going to see my mouth move.
How?
Because I'm
okay, so like the villain we said, you know, the villain can see the future. He's the spider guy from the 70s. He can see the future because he has the spider powers, and he sees that these three women are going to grow up to be spider women and kill him. So he wants to kill him first.
So he has to kill them.
How does? Oh, right. And so the idea is Madame Web, Dakota Johnson, is she's not one of those three girls, but she, because she was born with the power of the spider, she has a sort of clairvoyancy.
Yeah, she's like a latent clairvoyance.
And she is getting these visions of like, oh, this guy is going to kill these three women. I need to save them. Is that basically right?
Yes.
Yeah, but what is... Did I miss the line? You said something about the 30 years. Like, how could she just didn't have this power until she turned 32?
I guess
whatever
she had to have a near death experience.
She had to work with Adam Scott.
She had to work
enough
with Adam Scott.
Once we get going with the three girls, Adam Scott, like, it's so weird because
he's
set up as like a main
movie
character, and then he just disappears. He comes back
him going to a baby shower for his sister or whatever, and all
he exists
things
to be like, we're in the same universe as Spider-Man.
That is his character.
I'm Ben Parker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We didn't even mention that this is Uncle Ben. He exists to be like, hey, Madam Webb, how's it going at the paramedics today? And he's like, I'm doing all right, Uncle Ben.
And then he's like,
I'm dating someone new, by the way, and also I think she's pregnant, right?
No,
it's his sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law's pregnant.
All that coy bullshit of like, I'm seeing this girl. What's her name? And then like mug to camera. It's like,
her name is Aunt May.
And it's or like when we get to pregnant Peter's mom, and it's like, what's the baby's name gonna be? And she's like, it's. And then like a balloon pops, and it's like, teehee, you guys know what
they expect the audience to do during these scenes, like nudge each other, like,
I don't know, that's Uncle Ben. Oh, they're talking about Peter Parker. Ah,
that's Spider-Man.
I think so.
Oh my god, I love this.
None of that. Only thing I guess that has any. What's the connection of this storyline to the plot of the movie? Like, what is the plot of the movie?
Of Peter Parker. Her web connects everyone,
right? I know, but that's.
It's to remind you that we are in a Spider-Man adjacent movie.
Ryan just died for a second there. He flatlined for a second.
I did. I'm just trying to figure out, like, what is this trying to say? Like, what is anything? Like, I don't know. Like,
this movie has no thoughts, no vibes, no emotions.
Once
head
you
empty,
have
brain
great
smooth.
Responsibility, you will have great power.
The power will go.
I guess great powers, great response. Let's just do the theme of the first Spider-Man movie.
Remember?
I guess.
Remember Spider-Man? Huh? Oh,
so
huh?
Apparently, so I'm curious to watch it again to see, because they said that it was originally going to take place in the 90s. So that way that it could be
Andrew Garfield
Spider-Man.
Okay, sure.
And so then they changed it to be Tom Holland Spider-Man. So. And the thing is, Adam Scott and Andrew Garfield kind of have a look, I think, to him a little bit. So maybe that's what they were going for originally.
They weren't going for shit. I didn't have any ideas about anything.
Do you think they were just like, we can't get Andrew Garfield, he doesn't want to do this, so we're switching
to Tom? He declined a cameo.
Maybe we can get Tom in. Oh, no, Tom said no, too.
Oh, Tom said absolutely not. Stop, don't call me
again. We're too far in now with this 2003 shit. We already filmed a blockbuster to set the period.
The one scene that was used in like all the marketing of like, oh, the spider women, oh, Sydney Sweeney's hanging upside down like a spider woman.
That was to sell the movie.
Is one purely. Singular scene where evil Spider-Man has his nightmare. Which is also terribly shot and really ugly, and they have a like bad white wig on him to show it's the future. He goes like in his nightmare where the spider women kill him. He's like, my spider, where is my spider? And then the three spider women come in and kill him.
Where is my spider?
And it's so, and it's like that scene and like one little kind of rap at the end of like, look, they're wearing spider outfits, they're doing spider stuff, as if that like justifies the entire movie of like a bunch of people with no superpowers being boring and annoying. And it's just like, what are we doing here? Like, actually, what are we doing here?
That scene when you see them all in costume, I suddenly had a thought, like, maybe they were right all those times ago when you can't actually do comic accurate costumes because they look
stupid. Absolutely
ridiculous.
Because the best it's gonna look is like a cosplay, and
yes,
it's like
it looked
I
like
would
cosplay.
Rather in that case like just go to fucking Comic-Con, just see some people who did a cosplay that they like cared about instead of this bullshit.
I mean, I'm trying to figure out like who all these characters are, because there's all these spider women. I guess they're basically like versions of spider women or spider girl.
It's like variants of like, oh, there was a Gwen Stacy spider woman, or like this person was, because these comics have existed for like 100 years now, and they're always going to just be making up new bullshit to sell comics, because that's the point. And none of it is the just Peter Parker was a normal boy who got bit by a radioactive spider. Like,
yeah. And it's funny, cause I'm looking at like usually with these designs, your eyes always have these big white, Spider-Man or whatever you do it.
Yeah.
It's like they're big white eyes, but all their costumes in here, their eyes are cut out. Which is not is not how Spider-Man comics have ever been.
Their eyes are cut out, and that's all of them have their hair out.
Yeah, like, that's no ponytails, what's it no called? Nothing. Isn't like Black Cat have that look to her or something like that? Or one of those characters?
Black Cat, you can see her eyes. Yeah. But as far as I know, none of the spider characters
always
white.
Have the big, huge thing. And so, but you have to see it's them. That's actually them in costume. So we're seeing their. And that's never been a thing in any of these Spider-Man movies. They've actually been smart enough to do it, you know, do the whole.
Although they do the thing that always makes me laugh in any superhero movie, and in this movie it happens at the end when the villain has Madame Web in his clutches and he takes his mask off. I have to emote now.
Hello, it's me in my face. Don't pay attention to how my voice does not line up with my mouth.
You can see it, audience, but Ryan did this earlier, and this is just what it was. Like, as you expect him to, like, hold on a second, and grab, like, a beer mug and put it in front of his mouth, like, I am going to kill you now.
I am the Spider-Man.
Like, do any of these look... This looks all shitty, right? Like, cosplay compared to the real...
Yeah. The masks look like face paint of, like, don't worry, it's still a hot lady who you may or may not recognize. And I feel like
it reminds
any...
me of Batman and Robin, like, almost the...
Yeah.
Don't invoke a real movie.
But that's right. it also reminds me of, like, a reason why a lot of these superhero, you know, movies don't look very good and look a lot better and more emotive in comics is because they're comics and you can draw the mask emoting or, like, you know, Spider-Man...
Off model,
and it's fun. Like, I was thinking about this in the scene... It's like Madame Web is she's back in the diner that she drove a taxi cab through, and she's like having this fractured like conversation with the bad guy, and I'm like, I get what they're going for with kind of the editing of it all, but even just that would look so much more dynamic and interesting in like a comic layout where we're, you know, shifting to like different like panels or like this or that, and it's like, yeah, that sounds like a cool comic. This looks like an ugly movie.
What do you guys what's the last like comic book movie you guys can remember where you're like, that looked cool?
Comic book movie, maybe like Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, but again, okay, animated.
That's animated.
A live action comic book movie that looked cool.
The Crow.
I'm gonna say I really don't fucking care about Marvel.
Where you're like, wow, the visual splendor of it.
I'm gonna say Sam Raimi's Spider-Man films. Those look cool. Those were good.
I'm really at a loss because, like, as you said, I think we've kind of mentioned this in the past before, but it seems like, and I would extend this even past comic book movies. I feel like a lot of movies in general nowadays just look. It's kind of samey.
Yeah.
They're kind of like grayish and like kind of grayscale.
A lot
looking
of sludge.
Like, they're not colorful and they're not dynamic with the lighting. Like they all look very flat and like stream, like a streaming movie. It's like these, like movies nowadays are shot for Netflix, it seems.
And it's got to look, you know, fine on your phone, which is how you're going to be watching it.
Yeah. Like it's so rare nowadays where I'm like, fuck, that was a visual feast.
Can't be too dark for your TV.
I think that new Superman looks like very visual.
Well, that Superman looks interesting. It's colorful. Like they brought color back, guys.
I like remains to be seen. Obviously the movie's not out. I think it looks awful. Yeah. But
based on the trailer.
See, that's nuts. I think it looks beautiful. It's crazy.
I think also it's very much what you're saying, Dave, too, because all of this stuff is done in like previs and you know, like CGI skies or backgrounds or anything like that. And it's all to do with not paying unions and not, you know, saving
shooting
money, this, there, or the third.
You know,
because if something is not previs, designed with like
I think
color
the Batman
or
movie. Batman.
Bring out Jack.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
Batman was
there
fun.
Oh yeah, the Batman. Cool. Yeah, that movie looked cool. His stomps. The great audio design
and his the eye makeup that like these fools would be wearing if you're
fun.
Wearing your Batman cowl. Yeah, you.
Yeah,
that
was like the best
cool.
thing about that movie. I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
It was wet.
It was a soggy one. But
so Jackie, you mentioned unions, and there's something I wanted to bring up about this movie, Madame Web. So we're talking about, like, we've said a lot, like, oh, studio was the studio executives, and a lot of people involved seem to say this was studio executives just making a bad movie. I want to talk about one of those studio executives very briefly. So the CEO, the careers of these, like, idiots. Like, so the CEO of Sony Pictures from 2017 to, he actually, well, I don't know what time it is right now, what year it is right now, but
who knows?
He announced in late 2024 he's stepping down, and it's going to be effective sometime in 2025. So he's still, as of 2025, he's technically still, like, involved or on the board. But anyway, so this is the CEO of Sony Pictures. So it's, like, the guy. Tony Vinciquerra. He is a defender of Madam Web. But his career of CEO of Sony Pictures is 2017 to 2024. And so he was the one responsible for, under his tenure, like, Morbius, Kraven the Hunter was his last big project. So in an exit interview with the LA Times, this is his something he brought up in the middle of an interview. Let's just touch on Madam Web for a moment. Madam Web underperformed in the theaters because the press just crucified it. It was not a bad film, and it did great on Netflix. For some reason, the press decided they didn't want us making these films out of Kraven and Madam Web, and the critics just destroyed them. They also tried to do it with Venom, but the audience loved Venom and made Venom a massive hit. These are not terrible films. They were just destroyed by the critics and the press for some reason.
Because they were bad
and
movies.
We don't know why.
So that's his take. And you know where he's going? You know where he's going after this incredible run of making beautiful art? He's going back to private equity.
The true field of artists.
Just like, and the amount of, I was trying to see, like, how much he got paid. There's no real figures, package? But it's in, like, you know, the tens of millions,
of
most
course.
Likely.
More money
for just overseeing a disaster of 7 years, putting out, like, historically awful movies, and then just, like, getting a pat on the back and going back to making a godly amount. So I hate everything.
Much. Do you think as he was leaving the offices of Sony, was he yelling EQUIT?
Well, like, I love having money.
I will say that the whole that these companies, not to defend this guy, but I think these companies,
please, Ryan, the floor is yours.
No, have set up or maybe this is the way people consume these days. Have started, like, this, like, war again, like, we're, like, taking sides with these companies. Like, oh, I love the Marvel Disney stuff, but I hate that Sony shit. And so the internet and everything, I think he is right about that. There's, like, this, like, biased YouTube shit that's, like,
And the critic. He wasn't talking about YouTube, though, right? He said the press and the critics.
But that's who the critics is and the press is now. Like,
But he's not. He's a 7-year-old CEO. He's not thinking about that. He's not saying anything about YouTube or the internet fandom. He was saying the fans are on our side, but the evil critics are the one tearing us down.
I don't. Maybe, but I'm just saying, like, it's just like he.
I get you want to defend this guy.
No,
Ryan,
I'm just saying, but, like, people take these weird, like, tribal things with this shit.
No, sometimes. I mean, you're right.
And that makes me sick too. But the thing is, these movies aren't great. But there's, like, a weird, like,
I don't think this guy is tuned in enough to know about, like, the Zack Snyder stands.
There are people, like, rooting for, like, the failure of this stuff, so, like, we can get our characters back, and they can hang out with Black Widow and shit. Like, I don't know, like, there's, like, a thing, like, that goes
it
on
is of
that.
Like, there's you know, a lack of art and culture turns into my favorite corporation versus your favorite corporation.
So just some other movies that this guy oversaw, just real quickly. Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, the Gran Turismo movie, Adam Driver, 65 million.
The Gran Turismo movie's good, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Adam Driver, 65 million. The Uncharted movie.
For instance,
don't exist.
You're right, but I think you're right, Ryan. I mean, case in point, Superman. Like, still, to this day, it boggles my mind that the Zack Snyder fans are like, yeah, anything that's not Zack Snyder, we must kill dead.
That is definitely, you know, true, I mean? And annoying, but I don't think that that is what this guy is talking about.
I think it comes down to also, like, the people who say I'm good are the fans, and the people who say I'm bad are the critics, and that's just that. And it's like, well, okay.
It strikes me as like a Trumpian response, like fake news.
Well, it's that,
like,
it's that famous line where it's like, hey, we made this for the fans.
Right. Listen, maybe the critics, you know, hey, Madame Web isn't supposed to be Citizen Kane, okay?
The thing is like, it's a mixture of a lot of things, because I think, like, even fans have turned on, like, the Marvel movies, you know,
yeah,
or the casual. Basically, what's happened is, like, they've lost this casual, and these movies got too expensive, and they thought, like, any superhero movie is going to make $1 billion, is what their thinking was, and then they greenlit all this shit. And in the last 5 years, things started falling off. The cards started falling. And so they are, you're right, they're people trying to pass blame on the things because they don't want to lose their jobs or whatever. But, like, it's kind of crazy. I like the inside baseball about this stuff, but I find it strange to be, I mean, it's rooted, he's wrong. He's right. I think you're right that it's rooted in, like, the wrong reasons to make this thing, you know, because like, I'm curious to find the people that like this movie at all, or like, and Venom was fun. It's like stupid and bad, I thought, but like, it's like a fun actor in it.
The first people liked the first Venom because it was like kind of goofy and silly, but then they made like two more sequels that no one gave a shit about.
Has anyone here seen Vampire's Kiss, the Nicolas Cage movie?
Oh, yes. Okay. ABC.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So that, I was thinking a little bit about that movie watching this, because like, Vampire's Kiss is a movie that I think Vampire's Kiss is a great movie. It's incredible because of Nicolas Cage, right? And I feel like if you didn't have Nicolas Cage, if you just had, like, generic other guy, let's say Adam Scott, and he was just playing it straight, like, not straight even, but just playing it like a normal actor would, I feel like it would be an awful movie that I wouldn't think about again. But it's because Nicolas Cage is just maybe it's just him being weird, or maybe he's having the intelligence to realize this
artist.
Movie needs it, but he brings this just force to it that's maybe similar to, Ryan, what you're saying about Tom Hardy and Venom, that it does kind of change this movie. And I'm wondering if this movie would have been saved if one of these actors had just, like, gone insane with it.
I don't think that
would
have.
Yeah, the thing is, I really think it has to do with, like, there's so much change. It doesn't feel like a movie where they had an idea of what they're going on. Like, that Venom movie feels like, for what else, kind of dumb it is, it feels like a singular vision in a weird way in this weird system.
And I mean, I would agree with that, too, of, like, I don't know, what's the weird thing in Madame Web? It's just such a milquetoast everything. And the, yeah, there's, you know, maybe if Dakota Johnson had decided to go balls to the wall, it would have been, like, funny, but
we get the Jesus line.
Sleepwalks through this movie.
Jesus,
I did like her delivery of Jesus.
You see the can, Dave? The stuff with the Pepsi can.
Her inability
her
to
being
open
unable
a single
to open
can.
A can.
The Pepsi thing, and especially I love when the villain dies from
he's
Pepsi
killed
Cola
by the Pepsi Cola yes. sign, which really made me thirsty for a Pepsi Cola.
This movie, I think one of you said this. I kind of enjoyed this on the level of something like The Room. Like, ironically.
I think Dave,
like,
you said Dave. Dave, you said that.
Right, Mike. It doesn't.
Dave,
have...
you said that.
He heard you.
No, but someone else was saying, like, this. This goes into the vibe of, like, you know, so bad it's enjoyable. Like Mike, you said, like, you didn't hate, like, the experience of watching this movie, right?
Well, because the experience is you're watching it in a room with your friends and you're all yelling at the TV because it's so stupid and bad.
Yeah, with
and
drugs and alcohol and popcorn. Yes, it was
fine. Well, that's what I'm getting at. Because I saw some reviews that were saying, like, this movie could end up becoming, like, a camp classic because it's so bad.
I don't think it is as bad as that, though.
Because I don't think it, has the juice of, like, The Room, which, you know, for all its faults, was made by
I think for it to have that appeal, like, I think it can have, like, an appeal on that level, but I think you have to be, like, us, like, sickos interested about like the behind the scenes inside baseball.
Well, and that's what I'm getting at, because like, because as you said, it doesn't have a Nicolas Cage Vampire's Kiss type performance in the center of it because everyone's sleepwalking. What I think, what I'm more responding to is just, as you said, everything around the making of the film, the fact that no one in it cares that they're in it, and they realize that they're in a turd. You can tell. Yeah, from the ADR.
Even those poor girls, the Spider Woman.
Yeah, everyone knows it's a piece of shit. And so I guess I'm kind of watching it, and the enjoyment I'm getting out of it is like, wow, this is just a colossal piece of crap. How did this come into being? How was this allowed? And then really just kind of watching it, I feel like I've said this in the past, in like an anthropological type of way, where I'm viewing
it's
it more
like
as like...
we are studying spiders in the Amazon,
yes,
you know?
Yes, it's like I'm viewing, like, how as a fan of cinema, like, how did this come into being? And it's just this weird oddity that it exists. And it's like a sad statement on, you know,
it's almost like
it
killed, I think, these movies in a weird way, you know?
Yeah. I mean, hey, in that sense, it should be saluted, because we don't need any more fucking Disney, Marvel, Sony turds, okay? We're good. We're fucking
are
good.
Because like with the failure of Kraven was the last one from Sony.
And wasn't
like
that in production for like years?
They just kept pushing it
kept
every
delayed.
Year. Yeah.
Hey, Tony Vinciquerra runs like a tight ship, guys.
It seems like now the only thing they're going to do, it seems as if they've finally gotten the lesson, like, we will only make Spider-Man movies and like Spider-Verse cartoon. Mm. Like, because from what I understand, there are no other like Spider-Verse movies in production, right? It's just Spider-Man.
It is funny. I mean, I agree. I was just made my whole ramshackle about like this tribalism thing, but it's like a mixture where people sometimes spoke with their dollar, like, we're not going to see that. We don't want to see this. And then sometimes
like
they went. And stuff like more, or but then people saw Venom, and they made two sequels for it. So it's like, something was in the water where they're like, maybe there's something here.
Well, I think with Venom, it's as you said, it's that crazy Tom Hardy performance at the center of those movies that brings people back.
That's the Nick Cage performance Mike's talking about and stuff. Yeah. So it's like,
but these other movies like Morbius and Madame Web don't have that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's strange. It's strange that he tried to do this at all. And I'm very much like, don't understand. Like, yeah, it's like, because it's not like Feige was part of that system back in the day. You know, he was part of those Marvel movies in those early 2000s. His name popped up in like some of these movies.
Yeah, I think we saw his name in like Elektra and stuff like that.
So it's just like it got away from him and they kept doing it. And it does feel very machine-like and everything. But like, I do. What if the movie was a thing where it wasn't very, there was no suits going on, but it took place in this world and it was sort of this psychological, like weird sort of early 2000s grudge like thriller or something? Like, would it be better or would it be just more interesting?
I don't know, man. If the sky was made of pudding, would we eat that every day? It's just like, that's so outside of the realm of what this thing
like
is.
Some of these could be like Final Girls or something too. Like, would it be that zone or is it just like,
I think you would have to change so much of what it was that it's like, just make a different movie. Just make a different movie.
Yeah.
Well, and also it's shocking, like, that someone was like, this literally was just like, as you said, Ryan, like, well, it's a comic book Marvel movie, it's a comic book character, it'll make $1 billion. It's like, but for anyone who knows anything about comics, it's like, Madame Web should probably have her own movie, right?
No.
It's like, is Madame Web a big enough character for her own
Absolutely
movie?
Absolutely not.
Madame Web is a character in like another person's movie, another more popular character. Like, she, you know what I mean? Like, she's like the thing that gets the story going in someone else's movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, when they announced that a Madame Web movie was coming out, I was shocked.
It's
like,
for who?
For who?
Well, I think they started with that, and then they were like, oh, what if we made like this all woman spider team? It's like, okay, there's an idea, but then they're like, let's combine them, and I don't know, like, or they didn't even try to make that movie, really, the Spider-Woman movie. And I think it has a lot to do, like, post Spider-Verse really opened up the doors to bad places and not the good places too, I think.
Yeah,
like, because I love the Spider-Verse movie and the sequel's great too, and then it's like, oh, then we have like, they were thinking like, oh, we can get away now with this multi-universe shit and all these things. just it's nonstop. It's crazy.
That you know, speaking of the because Spider-Verse was 2018.
Speaking of the Spider-Verse, in an interview with Tony Vince Sicara, a different interview, he was talking about the Spider-Verse movies and stuff, and in it, he mentioned, "quote We are very focused on AI. The biggest problem with making films today is the expense. We're looking at ways to produce both films for theaters and television in a more efficient way, using AI primarily."
I hope he falls in a very deep hole.
Tony Vinciquerra was also very pivotal in the strikes that were going on and really big and pushing for more AI in the industry. Mm-hmm, that was one of the big, like...
Who doesn't want to be paid for their work? Computers.
You know who does want to be paid for his quote-unquote work?
Yeah, I hope the hole is very, very deep and dark and never has a bottom, and he just falls forever. And then his wealth is redistributed.
It kind of... I hate to end on such a bad note here.
What do you expect?
Guillotine.
I guess I'm just saying, like, because that's been a huge topic as of late. Like, are movies kind of dying?
Hollywood, like, hey, watch out, Hollywood. Dying? I used this AI to make a complete copy of a shittier copy of a thing that people like.
Well, it kind of, because I'm thinking on a more grander scale here. Like, because one thing I always look back on, A few years back, I was watching Star Trek The Next Generation. It was a season one episode, and in it, the Enterprise recovers this group of people who've been frozen, that were frozen in like the 90s or something, or the early 2000s, whatever. And they come on the Enterprise.
Said, have you ever heard of Britney Spears Toxic?
One of the guys is in his quarters, and he looks at Data, and he says, hey, what about the boob tube? Can I watch anything on the boob tube? What do you got on?
The boob tube.
Yeah, the boob tube. Well, I'd like to see how the Braves are doing after all this time. Probably still finding ways to lose.
I believe he means television, sir. That particular form of entertainment did not last much beyond the year 2040.
Well, what do you guys do? I mean, you don't drink and you ain't got no TV. It must be kind of boring, ain't it?
And I think back to that scene nowadays, and I'm like, I have that question in my mind. Could movies and TV kind of just go away?
Could it happen? There's a great documentary, The Story of Film, An Odyssey, that I've probably referenced half a dozen times on this podcast. And it has a... There's like a moment in there where it's like starting from the beginning of film and kind of goes all the way to the present. And there is like a part in there where it's like, you know, someday the last film will be made. Like,
well, it mentions it. This is while it's showing clips from Inception.
Avatar, right? Oh.
And it's like showing them on the plane kind of getting, when they're waking up at the end of Inception. Mm-hmm. And he talks about that, like, there's a lot of art forms that have come and gone throughout mm-hmm. history yeah. of humans and stuff. And so what if film is one of those things?
It will be. Like, nothing lasts forever. There will be a point where it's whether it's like the heat death of the universe or like the end of humanity.
It becomes something different, you know.
Or, yeah, it becomes something different.
Well, but I also
like
argue
TikTok
like
videos, for instance. Like, not for real.
I think you're right, yeah.
You know, like, theater exists, stories exist, oral tradition, and et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know if it's naive or whatever, but I have to believe that people will continue to tell stories to each other, even if and when you know, the singularity happens and the robots enslave us all. We're still going to be in our little you know, feeding stalls, whispering stories to each other.
But will they be 90 minutes to 2 hours long with explosions?
Probably not.
A licensed soundtrack.
It'll be broken up into 20-second clips on a little thing that you loop through. That's in your glasses.
And it is told with the TikTok voice. My husband went to Inception, and he dreamed that...
Well, and again, it brings me back to where I began this podcast with the 100 years, Columbia, 100 years of movie making. It's just like
it's come
I
to
just
this.
Had a feeling like, is this kind
of well? That's end? How I. That's so funny, brother. This movie does feel like the death of something. It does. It feels this like is a the
funeral.
I could really see like this being in like in 20 years or something. This being in like a film class of like the history of like big budget movies is like, oh, the beginning of the end, or like this was the end, was, you know.
And you brought up the thing about the AI thing, which I've seen brought up, like even our boy JC talked about this of like movies.
Jesus
of,
Christ?
Yeah.
Oh.
Have like, you know, like there's like using, you know, and I hate this shit, but it's like using AI to bring the cost down somehow with movies since they've gotten over budget, which is both like a thing of like bummer because people aren't going to get paid more, you know, but like,
yeah,
people still want to watch this shit, you know, so it's like, it's really my hope.
Is it, you know, the thing that needs to die, and I think we all know this, is the corporations, because the artists still exist, and they still want to make art, but it's the corporations that are all about money and that want to strangle anything that's not making money.
Jackie, like, you're super right, and it's something that I think is, like...
Sorry to be commie, but...
It really frustrates me when people talk about movies this way, because, like, movies are not in a bad place. Like, and I feel like you hear that a lot, like, oh, movies are awful, movies are dying. Like, no, like, the Hollywood big corporation industry sucks right now and is not in a good place, and they're not putting out good stuff.
Because it turns out private equity, it doesn't make movies.
Well, there's plenty of good movies being made, though, that are outside of that system, or even like different models. Like A24, you know, is not a big mega corp.
No, but no one's making any money. The thing is that movies have always been about corp, like money.
Art and commerce, and et cetera. But
the movies, no, I don't think so. I mean, I think that's Hollywood.
It's always you have to get money somehow.
But I mean, like the real, like,
if people don't see it, then you're not going to make another movie. That's just how this was always worked since the beginning.
Well, and that's like the weird dichotomy with movie making in general. It's just like, yeah, it's the most expensive art form there is.
It has all the art forms too.
It has all the art forms in it. And it's like, on one hand, I get, it's like, hey, a guy comes to me, it's like, hey, I really want to make this story, blah, 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 blah. It's like, but from my point of view, I also don't want to lose $50 million. You know what I mean? So it's like, in devil's advocate, I get why someone with money would be like, well, I want some assurances that I'll get a return on investment. And that's a thing with movie making where it's just like, these two things don't necessarily...
And I think this is why, like, I'm a big proponent of, like, having government funding for the arts. And, like, it's why, like, these year. You know, you watch a European movie and there's like 15 different things attached to it.
Yeah. Because
they got
the
grants and stuff.
Or something.
Like, yeah. And I think like it doesn't, it's art, right? Like art shouldn't have to make a profit. And like, ideally you can set it up to where like, it's okay. Like this is paid for by different nonprofits or subsidies or like different grants and stuff. And we applied for them and we got them. And maybe it's like good, you know, if it makes some amount of money, but it's not necessarily there to like make line go up, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess we can wrap up soon, but of thinking historically too of many of the great like works of arts of like paintings only exist because a rich patron commissioned, you know, Da Vinci to paint this or that, mm-hmm. and that funds like all the other kind of, you know, amateur like sketches or whatever of the other stuff. And it's not that that is like the system. Oh, we should only have rich patrons who do blah, 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 blah. But it's like, how
it all leads back.
I hate money. I hate that money exists.
It's really strange. It's, yeah, it's funny this movie brings this out of you because it really does. I can't imagine seeing this
and
in
that's
theaters,
why we
and,
need to overthrow the. Oh.
And it's flabbergasting because this thing is of like, they were thinking they can make something on rails and they have probably made a lot of these. Like, what? Can you think of, Dave, like one maybe that's like a middle, like a straight down middle, like maybe less than a 3-star like superhero movie in the
last
10, 15
years? Like a Brave New World?
That's just like
Brave New World, Captain America? Would that maybe be like...
That was a failure.
Yeah, that
didn't
do
that,
it.
Largely wait, a failure. Red Hulk? Is that Harrison Ford?
Yeah,
that's Red Hulk. Maybe before Madam Web, though. That's what I'm trying to think.
I would say one that comes to mind that was like not a gigantic success, but enough to warrant a sequel, the first official Fantastic Four movie. That came out in 2005. It did okay. It wasn't crazy.
Wasn't great.
It didn't get
really
a shitty sequel,
chances.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm trying to think, I guess post Iron Man, post Dark Knight, and then pre Madam Web. What's one in between those sections? That's sort of like so middle of the road, but it still does like it didn't really like offend anybody. Like, this is offensive for a movie, I think.
Because once Marvel kind of got into it, and you had, like, the first Thor, the first Captain America, and I would say those, like, you know, aren't perfect, but were, like, pretty good, and obviously led to, like...
They're, like, coherent movies.
The disgusting, despicable mess that we're in now.
I think,
like,
that's what's kind of shocking about this movie is we like you were saying, Ryan, like, we figured it out. Like, we thought we were... past this, you know.
You thought it'd be at least like a three, like a, I mean, like, especially if you like these type of, I mean, not, we don't all like these movies, but if you like them, it should be like I don't know, like they started, like I didn't love the I think in one, for instance, is maybe like the Captain Marvel movie isn't great to me, but it made $1 billion though, still, you know.
Well, and I guess maybe with the Madame Web of it all and the Captain Marvel of it all, not that this is the only, but it's an element of, like, why didn't this project with a bunch of women in leads and mm-hmm. women behind the scenes have the success of maybe some equally milquetoast X, Y,
okay.
and Z?
That's probably the bigger question for this whole series, Dave. Brought this, the perfect segue into all these movies we watched. And why
we have to address this.
I think that, hey, guess what? Patriarchy still exists, and many people will still hate a project solely because it has women in it, and they don't like women, and they think women are stupid, and they don't respect them.
Yeah, I'm like, why didn't they have the resources, though, to, like, to surpass that? Or is it misogyny on my part or something?
It's
like
not.
That?
I'm not saying that's the old, like, obviously, Madame Web. Is a bad movie's top to bottom, but, like, if it were all men leads, like, would we have maybe, like, a tiny bit more grace for this or that? Or maybe not, but, like, that is an element that exists in the world that we live in, and maybe even at the executive level, too, of, oh, give this project to this woman director who's had, like, some TV success or blah, blah, blah. And if it fails, like, no skin off our backs, because it's not like we fucking care about her career anyway. I don't know.
Well, it seems like a common thread with a lot of the movies we talked about in this film fest is, like, studio manipulation, like, futzing with the movie after the fact, reshoots, this, that, and the other thing, not having confidence in its stars or its director.
Almost all of them.
Certainly with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think almost all of them, I mean, not Barbarella. Yeah, maybe Barbarella felt like its own thing in it.
I would say, well, Barbarella is also the oldest movie we watched, sure, right? Yeah. That was 1968. That was a different time. That was a huge hit, I believe, in France or England.
It would be in France, huh?
And that one kind of, out of all the movies we've watched, that one really exists on its own. Totally different era, sure, when that came out, you know?
All right.
So that one maybe is a little bit off the side. Most of the other movies we watched are more or less in the same.
Barbarella, area. Like these other movies, I think we're talking about like executive intervention. I think Barbarella had drug interventions.
Well, yes.
Yes.
Drug and French intervention.
That's a complete, Barbarella's a completely different story. But all these other movies, it's just kind of like, yeah, there's some common threads where it's like.
They're chasing
like
something almost. They're all chasing something.
Yes, like Supergirl, for instance. It's like, oh, Superman was big. We got the rights to Supergirl. Let's make a Supergirl movie. You know what I mean? It's not coming from a place of like, we really love this character and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's just like, it's a comic book. We can make money with it.
That's probably, I know, you guys all, yeah, that's Mike's favorite movie.
Every day.
I almost don't want to put Josie in the Pussycats in there because that feels like its own thing.
Well, and I was going to say, that one feels like a movie. So we mentioned studio intervention. Josie and the Pussycats seems like a movie where like, they were allowed to make the movie they wanted to make.
Josie and the Pussycats is my favorite movie, not Supergirl.
No, you love Supergirl. You love.
Josie and the Pussycats was like, you mentioned identity. That movie has a clear identity. It has a voice. Whoever made that movie was allowed to make the movie they wanted to make.
It just didn't
do well.
And
maybe the failing with that movie was that they didn't know how to market it.
Yeah.
That might have been. But Josie and the Pussycats has largely been reclaimed.
What about
that is like a cult classic now.
Do you think Tang Girl was like studio intervention-y, Dave?
Yeah, that had the R thing. You know, remember that was a thing. Remember they shot it for R and they made it PG-13. Or was it? Was that the one I'm thinking of?
They did that with Aeon Flux.
Girl was R.
I think they edited
Tank
that.
Girl was
down.
R?
Yeah.
Okay. That movie just, it felt like too ahead of its time kind of thing, but that, I don't know. That was kind of an indie. That's a cheaper movie, I think, too.
Yeah.
So that's sort of like the indie. That was more indie, I think, in a way.
And again, I think Barbed Wire is another thing, like capitalizing on, like, hey, Pamela Anderson's huge right now. Like, what if we made a movie with her? What do we got? What do we got the rights to that we can plug her into?
It is wild in retrospect that I think Barbed Wire was one of the better movies we saw.
Should we rank them? How many? Should we do a rankings of what we thought for these? I think it's going to be a fun idea.
Yeah, I think we should.
I didn't, no offense to women, but I didn't watch most of these.
We tried.
You can still rank them.
Okay.
I'm going to go with, I mean, Josie is definitely first. And then probably Barbed
Wire.
I'm going to
rank these movies in terms of what had Parker Posey in them.
Yeah, right.
Josie, number one.
Yeah.
Everything else, zero.
Like, yeah, it's funny because Barbarella I didn't like, but it had such cool vibes. That's the best. That wins the award for best movie to play on a bar TV, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And and it does get played on bar TVs.
Let's say Josie. God, I don't even know what I'd put second. It's like they're all kind of down. Do you know what you would do, Dave? Like, I don't know.
Well, I'm gonna rank them in this way. I'm not gonna rank them as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm gonna rank them in basically quadrants.
Okay.
Like watchable, mediocre, and then just
unwatchable.
Pretend that they don't exist anymore. I don't know. Barbara, we'll go in order from when we went with this. Like, what was the
Barbed
first
Wire?
Movie you watched? Oh, Aeon Flux. Okay,
Aeon
Flux,
that one.
Forgettable.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about it. I had to really think about what was the first movie you watched? Aeon Flux, forgettable. Barbed Wire, mediocre. Barbarella, I don't even know how. Like you said, Ryan, it's like a movie that you don't necessarily watch, but you have on in the background.
And you're like,
maybe.
Wow, that looks great.
It has vibes, at least.
Yeah, there are vibes with that movie.
I put those both in the watchable one.
Catwoman, oh. I would put in the watchable field in the same, again, in the watchable with an asterisk, like in the same sense as The Room. Catwoman, I had a great time with. It's a terrible movie, but it's watchable. It's that movie was fun.
I think the motivations of characters make sense in that movie compared to this movie.
It's such a low bar.
It is, but at least, yeah, I don't know. It has that suit.
I'm just
that
imagining on the poster for Catwoman. Coherent.
Sort of.
No, I mean, it's not really, but more than a lot.
Anyway, Elektra, forgettable.
Oh, yeah, really bad.
Yeah, you forgot about that movie, but we watched it. Elektra, forgettable. Justin the Pussycats, watch. We can watch that movie. It's a good one.
I do watch it.
Supergirl, forgettable.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
I know. Even though I got emotional on the poster scene that with Christopher Reeve on that poster in the dorm room. That will I'll always remember that. I'll always remember that moment in the movie. I've loved it.
Yeah, Supergirl, forgettable. Mind you, I haven't put any in the movies where I'm like, this movie needs to not exist anymore. It's so bad. Most of them not have just been mediocre, you know?
Tank Girl, I didn't like that, though.
I hate to say it. You know, I think you're right. In some ways, it's ahead of its time, but I'm
going
to put it in the forgettable.
Good posters. I raved about the posters of that movie.
And then Madam Web, as I said, it should be put in the movie that shouldn't exist anymore, but it's such an oddity, and we've had such a long discussion on, like, again,
commerce.
The ramifications of this
philosophically
movie.
It shouldn't exist. Practically,
yes.
I did have a fun time with my friends watching it, so
yes.
We ate a lot of cheese and crackers.
We ate a lot of cheese and crackers and popcorn, and what's better than that? Laughing with your friends,
yeah.
Eating snacks.
That's where I fall on the movie.
But I've seen it twice now, and I don't know. I feel like the first time I watched it, I was like, it's over. Like, movies are dead. Now I'm. I think, like, maybe we'll be okay.
Maybe we'll be okay.
But yeah, I'm glad. I mean, you guys experienced, like, I feel like I had a gun to everyone's head. Like, you gotta watch this and see that movies are dead, gone, done for.
You put the gun down eventually, so it was okay.
I put the gun down.
And you did bring those great crackers, which I really enjoyed.
I rolled up in my wheelchair. We didn't even talk about that last scene. It's
oh, you
so
know when you get blinded and it paralyzes your legs?
Well, I was thinking, so, sorry, just to bring it back 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah, Madam Web.
Because I kept talking about, like, why is the motivation for this? Why, like, what is, if you had to guess, like, what's a thematic reasoning other than the character's blind? Her going blind in this, like, It's because she gets hit in the face with firework. But like, what is there? Pepsi can. Is there like
the
a
Pepsi
reasoning?
Can explodes in her face and she goes blind?
Yeah, is there like
underwater at
yeah,
that?
But is there like a reasoning? Like, there's not like a thematic. Like, you like, oh, she went blind because.
No.
She doesn't want to look at the world. That
it's
is
just because Madame Web in the comics is blind.
Which is, that drives me fucking crazy.
That's the only
They don't
reason.
Even try. Don't even try to make a thematic yeah. reason for it.
No.
Anyway, I forgot.
We didn't mention this specifically, but like one of the things that is like strikes me as like most studio exec notes of like someone involved here like doesn't understand storytelling or art or metaphor or, you know, humanity. There's moments in this where like there's terms that we use all the time, or people, you know, not just us, people use all the time to describe like story beats that are like not literal, but in this one are literal. And it strikes. So like there's the phrase of like in the book, it's like save the cat, which this is like the idea that like your character, your protagonist should do something in the beginning of a story that's like good, you know, quote
makes
unquote, saving a cat
someone,
to make him likable. Yeah. In this one, she literally saves a cat. And it strikes me as like an executive's like, I read this book, Save the Cat. She's got to save. She has to save a cat. That's what they took from it.
Which, yeah. Like,
and there's another part where like the movie ends in a literal fireworks factory, which is like the phrase of like talking about a climax. When are we going to get to the fireworks factory? And it's again, strikes me as an executive being like, no, when are we literally going to get
we
to the fireworks
get to
factory?
A building full of
there
fireworks.
Must be a fireworks factory here that we end the movie in.
And what you're saying makes it sound like a funny camp movie, but like the thing is, it's done. Everything is every joke is so flat. We kept doing the thing a bit during the movie where we're like, ah,
yeah, laughing like, out loud. Whenever like it's supposed to be a joke,
it's
like,
a.
Do you remember any of those moments?
It was she tries to high five one of the girls, and the girl's like, no, not cool. And then it's she's like,
God,
okay.
Those scenes drove me nuts.
And also on that note of just one little drop in the bucket of how bad this movie is, pretty overtly racist to cast the one black girl as the mean aggressive one. That's just why'd you do that?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, it's 2003, right?
You know.
Yeah. I have a definitive ranking of the movie.
Those are good rankings, though, Dave. Good rankings, I think.
Well, I have the. They weren't rankings. He was just putting them into buckets.
Oh,
okay. I have actually ranked them.
Okay. Okay.
This is
scientific.
All right.
This is scientific.
All right, Madam Webb.
These are the correct rankings.
All right, Mr. Webb.
So the correct rankings, the scientific rankings, won't include Catwoman or Tank Girl. They didn't. We had an issue at the lab. Those ones didn't make it in. So for the ones that are ranked. Should I start at the bottom or the top? Probably the bottom, right? Number 7, Madame Web.
Wow.
And it's kind of a long climb from there to the next movie. Mm-hmm. So number 6, Elektra. Number 5, Aeon Flux.
Wow.
Number 4, Barbarella. Number 3, my favorite movie, Supergirl.
Yep.
Number 2, Barb Wire. And number 1 with a bullet... The best movie we saw this film festival, Josie and the Pussycats.
Everyone's favorite film.
I think
Josie
everyone
starts
rocking.
That's
out.
A pretty, that's pretty right ranking, I think. But you I think you missed the most key. I think Catwoman is a key thing in this.
Where would you put Catwoman in this jumble? Is it number 2? Is it under Josie? Above Barbed Wire?
No, it's probably below Barbed Wire.
Maybe above Supergirl.
Probably below
Barbed
Wire. Probably above Superman, Supergirl.
Could you, Mike, could you have predicted that at the end of this film festival, you would have ranked Barbed Wire like number 2?
No. No, I
look how far we've come.
I love it. That's one of my favorite things that came out of this. Like, out of all the movies, you're like, I guess Barbed Wire was like the second best.
It had the funny bit in the beginning where they were hosing her down at the club and they zoomed out and it was the guys
was
just hosing her. That was a funny bit.
That
I think about
funnier
that.
Than Madame Web. It's crazy.
That's not that difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad.
Well, yeah.
Well there it is. A little...
Does anyone
thanks,
else want to get
thanks
their
for
rankings,
showcasing
or...
women,
I think
Dave.
You guys covered it pretty well.
Happy summer.
Covered it.
I think.
Well, I'm sorry to you guys. I'm sorry to women.
Don't apologize to us. Apologize to women.
Well, I just did. Yeah, I'm sorry to women everywhere that this is the best that the system will grant you for superhero.
I mean,
movies.
We could have saw Wonder Woman, to be fair.
Which is still just like has its moments.
Kind of, it's okay.
Yeah, I know. Wonder Woman still probably would have been below Josie and the Pussycats.
Well, and in that case, we would have had to watch Gal Gadot acting, which is like, is that much better than?
What are you talking about? She has enough charisma to fill the diet.
Kal-El, no.
I would have watched that. I forgot about that scene there. Enough champagne to fill the Nile.
To fill the Nile.
Well, again, I apologize to you guys. I apologize to women everywhere.
Thank
I'm
you
sorry.
For your apology.
This was perhaps an ill-advised film festival topic this year, theme.
Well, it's why women
be
shouldn't
better.
Be in movies. If we
next
can,
year
we're
will
all
be better.
It.
And in fact, I already know what the theme for next
Wait,
year
can
will
I
be.
Guess?
And it,
are we doing a Tony Vinciquerra film fest of all the movies he oversaw as CEO of Sony Pictures?
Morbius
no,
twice.
No. Next year, we will have a proven track record. I am not going to tell you what it is. I'll just guarantee you that the next year's Summer Film Fest will be nothing but bangers.
Wow.
Swayze again?
How could it happen?
And this is proven historically, by the way.
Swayze again. All right.
I don't think Swayze is in there. I'll give you some clues as to who we'll be seeing next summer. Uh-oh. We'll be seeing the likes of Sylvester Stallone. We'll be seeing the likes of Craig T. Nelson.
Oh, is this like a are we doing like a Republican film fest?
Oh no.
No.
Clint Eastwood talking to a school.
Oh, Jeff Bridges. Okay, I didn't hear Jeff Bridges.
I maybe you have some clues there. Maybe there's a few things there linking those movies, but we'll find out next summer. I promise next summer will be better, and I promise that the next batch of movies we watch after this will be better. I think we mentioned this on the Encino Man episode months ago, but we were going to watch The Mummy, guys. Remember that?
Yeah.
1999 hit with Brendan
Fraser.
Yeah,
I was excited about it. There was some light that I remember.
It's off in the desert. I know it's weird. There's like a weird thing. We have to wait for like a mirage to see it. But we will be watching The Mummy when we come back.
Yes! A good final.
A good movie.
Are we sure we didn't do that? Oh, I guess we didn't do that already, huh?
I've been wanting to do it forever.
Wow. I must have just
bring on the
when
hobbies.
Apocalypse Video returns, we'll be watching a good movie.
Can we just watch it now? Can we just watch it right now and record?
On air.
Anyway, we'll see you then, folks. Sorry about this whole summer.
Sorry, women.
We're going to save the movies.
I don't know if this was quite as bad as the first. If you remember, the first Hot Day Summer Film Fest was based off of a Piping Hot Dave's Chili, which didn't go over very well in the hot summer wastes.
That promotion has ended a long time ago. No one cared for it.
And yet, it remains in me forever. This forever
fundamentally changed your molecules, Jackie.
Yeah, what? That was really, really fucked up what you did, Dave. That's gonna be in my bones.
Cassie! Can we trust you?
3 hours, okay? Just stay here and don't do anything dumb. Seriously, don't do dumb things.
She was talking to you.
Okay, well, you're just a bitch. So. I know Taekwondo.